Welcome to the instruction period. Today we come to the instructions in the fourth foundation of mindfulness from the Anapanasati Sutta. The fourth foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of the Dharma. Dharma means the teachings of awakening. Dharma means truth. Dharma also means all things. And it means the law or the way of things. It has an ancient meaning also of duty. It's our duty here to wake up. We could look at it like that. So in this section, there are some wonderful contemplations. So we're invited to take up the contemplations and reflect on the teachings in order to understand and know for ourselves the wisdom that's associated with the teachings themselves. So in the instructions, there are four particular contemplations. The first is impermanence, which you've been hearing about rather a lot. The second is fading away. So it's a contemplation on, essentially, it's the fading away of desire. So sometimes when we reflect, we notice that some time ago, perhaps some years ago, we were rather reactive. A lot. And now that reactivity has somewhat faded, or it might be a more immediate fading away, the fading away of a sensation, the fading away of a thought, the fading away of the mind that wants, the fading away of our aversion, the fading away of our attachments, and so on. The third couplet in this section is a contemplation of cessation or the endings of things. And in the tradition, there's a lot of focus on taking our attention to the cessation, the ending of something, the ending of the moment, the ending of the breath, the ending of a feeling, the ending of a thought, the ending of our life, and so on. And the final instruction is a contemplation on relinquishment or letting go. So let's begin with the first in this section, which is impermanence. So when we contemplate, we simply set the intention to contemplate, to reflect. And with all of these instructions, somebody asked me yesterday about samadhi. Yes? Contemplate is to reflect on or inquire into. So it's to use our capacity. Thank you. It's to use our capacity of mind to reflect on itself or to reflect on a particular theme or issue or teaching. So I was just saying that yesterday somebody asked me with the instructions, for example, with samadhi, if one is sitting and there's quite a depth of samadhi that's evident, whether there should be a change to a different instruction or whether simply to follow the unfolding process that is taking place. Please follow the unfolding process that's taking place. And it's the same with these reflections. We set the intention to contemplate impermanence. Now, yes, we're reflecting on the teaching of impermanence, but the idea with the instruction is to directly experience that. And the direct experiences of impermanence we'll discover in a moment when we practice. And of course, from the experience itself comes the insight or the wisdom. The experience is informing us or telling us something, showing us something. And every single experience we have, whether it's very small or a deeper, more significant experience, every experience is a doorway, a gateway to freedom of the heart and mind. Even the painful experiences, as I described last night. So let's just do it, if you would please. Breathing in, contemplating impermanence. Breathing out, contemplating impermanence. So any discoveries? What did you discover in the contemplation of the impermanent nature of all conditioned phenomena? Yes. Yes. Ah, yes. Yes. So it's the thought that the impermanent will last forever that causes the difficulty. Yet we actually know from the teaching of impermanence and from our daily life experience that all phenomena, everything that arises, ceases. And that includes every thought, every idea, every feeling, every concept, every view, every experience. As you said, memories from the past that are painful cease. Okay, beautiful. So that realization frees you up to be with the shifting, changing nature of phenomena, whatever the experience is, but without the fear, the pain's going to last forever, or the unpleasantness that's associated with it will stay with me. And we often think we can't break free of the difficult experiences, especially those difficult experiences we've had in the past. We have the view that this is my life, this is my experience, and we tend to think that we're bound to it, that we're bound to the past, but of course we're not. We recognize, we don't deny the past, we don't suppress any difficulty that's happened in life, but we find a way to honor that, to be with it with great respect, and yet not have that painful experience color and shape consciousness and drive our activities, often rather unconsciously. So well done. I love it when somebody says, yes, I just saw this. Okay, yes. 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 Of course, there's the opportunity of the new. And life unfolds extraordinarily freely. And it's beautiful. We can just be with it. Lovely. Yes.
I was thinking about death.
Yes.
About my death. And then the trees.
Yes.
Seems so stable and wise and ancient.
Yes.
They're also going to die someday.
Yes.
And the planet.
Yes. Okay. So there was no fear and no aversion, no unpleasantness, just the noticing of and the realization of the fact of the ending of life. The tree, the planet, each of us. Okay, we can be with this impermanent nature with ease, actually. Thank you. Yes, there was someone here at the back. No? Oh, there's so many people. Sorry, at the back. We'll take somebody. Yes? 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 Okay, so you brought the attention back to the actual sensations. Yes, and you saw the beginning and end of the sensations in the body, the beginning and end of the sounds of the birds. Then what? Ha! Yes? Yes, and the thoughts too are impermanent. So what's the feeling that comes with the seeing of that? Calm. Yes. So we see the reality of impermanence, and there is a way of just being with it, with ease, with calm, without fear. Anybody else? Ah, yes. Yes. Yeah, not to grasp it. Ah, so here we have the key. The impermanent nature of things can be felt as light and pleasant so long as we're not grasping. Whenever we grasp the impermanent and want it to stay, we're in trouble. When we no longer grasp, when we're just with this unfolding nature of things, with a heart and mind of non-grasping, non-clinging, the non-clinging sets us free. And then we're just with all of the different aspects of life. In that moment, the one who is wanting to control things ceases, ends. Yes. Yes. He said he has a question and two kinds of experiences. Okay. Okay. Yes. So the sense of self can rest on and cling to, I am the observer of all of this. I am the witness. And sometimes when the more ordinary sense of self starts to dissolve, the clinging changes position. It changes position to the observer. And so then we become the self, quite subtly sometimes, observing everything. And there's still some pain there. And there's pain because there's some kind of clinging there. So the key is to be completely with what we're experiencing. Mindfulness means to be intimate with, to be very near. Rather than standing back with some kind of distance between the actual sensations and the distance although observing is helpful initially when we start to meditate, that gap needs to end. So we need to be so close to the sensations, the thoughts, the ideas. We are directly with them, whatever they are. Totally with the experience. What we tend to do is observe, and with the observation comes a thinking about. Was there any thinking about what you were experiencing or not? Yes. Mm. Yes. So with the solidity, you saw the solidity. How did you know you had a solid sense of self? Yeah. It felt as if someone was watching, he said, but you know that because you're aware. So if you can deepen to the awareness rather than attach to what is revealed. You understand? Yeah, yeah. And so it's a kind of, it's just a softening, a really, really fine, fine attention. But a light attention, tender attention. Not trying, just being with. We set the, it's really hard to explain the fineness of the attention and the lightness of, the attention is really important. And then the kind of sense of hardness of the observer will dissolve. Thank you. Yes.
So the question about the experience that like I'm sitting.
Yes.
Practice the have smile.
Yes.
It's like I'm doing something that changes experience.
Yes.
It's not feel the same as I'm like passively look.
Mm. 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 These instructions are instructions, and meditation instructions are setting up certain conditions. And the instruction about gladdening the heart-mind is an instruction which shifts the experience. And you'll see here, we're giving the instructions, and then what comes is a shift and change in the experience. This is the value of the meditation instructions, because otherwise we often sit there and we're drifting, or we're simply going to our habitual places of clinging, of stuckness, or we're drifting and just being vague. And it may be that, especially if you've practiced a lot, you can sit rather still for a few hours, but so what? Nothing much is happening in terms of insight. The practice is no longer really alive. So the beauty of these instructions is it's a deliberate shift. Some of it's because it's a training to peace. And they're valuable. I think they're precious. I've met so many people who've said, I've been sitting for years. My practice has become really, really dull. I don't have any insights anymore. I can just sit there and I feel relatively calm. I just sit and feel spaced out, but there's not a lot of fruit from the practice. And when we practice in this way, the insights begin to unfold. We see them and hear them around the room. So yes, the instruction is taking us somewhere.
There's two kinds of different experience. One is I'm looking for permanence.
Mm. Yes.
The other is I'm like doing something.
Yes. You're reflecting upon the experience in order to understand the wisdom from the experience. And yes, when we pay attention, there is a change in experience. Yes. 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 Okay. Yes. When we say the word impermanence, it's a concept. Concept is empty and impermanent too. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't quite understand if I should use what you were talking this day or previous days.
Okay. The invitation each day is that you take up one of the instructions from the morning and use it in the sitting. It is up to you which one you decide to explore. Please take just one instruction for one sitting. Don't go, oh, I'll do 3 minutes of this one. Oh, no, I like the joy better a few days ago. I think I'll do that one. Oh, no, I don't really get joy, so I'll do contentment. And then we just go all over the place. So you take one. You look at the instructions. Sometimes there'll be one that really resonates with you. You take it. You set the intention, and then you see what the unfolding process brings as you continue the breathing. If you find that you are very confused and scattered and distracted and can't settle, then please simply go back to mindfulness of breathing that we did on the first evening. You are always free to do mindfulness of the breath, following the path of the breath all the way in and all the way out. But since most of you on this retreat have sat many retreats before, the invitation is to explore what we've been doing that day. Take up one of the instructions, check it out, see what the unfolding experience is in relationship to the practice. Is that clear? Yes. Yes.
Just a small question, just a clarification. Those instructions are linear, or I can go back to whichever works for me?
You can go back to whichever works for you. Some people say the instructions are linear and that one should stay with one instruction until the insights are complete. This could perhaps take some months or years. And we would never get to the end. So the way that I'm teaching them is just to give you a little taste of them and to deepen into the instruction a little more than usual, to listen to other people, to learn perhaps. We learn from one another. We don't have the same experiences, but we can understand the experience of another. And to bring some inquiry to the experience. So we inquire into the experience. We see the wisdom from it. And yes, you can go back to mindfulness of breathing, or you can go back to joy or contentment if you wish. That is up to you. Is it a direct experience about impermanence or another question? Direct, thank you.
First, I started with the impermanence of the breathing sensation.
Yes.
And then it was like a movie in a way, while a leaf was falling from the tree to the ground. I went. It took me on a trip to Neanderthals.
Okay.
And from their lives that they've had, and to people that were here years ago when it was a kibbutz and when it was the retreat.
Yes.
And then I came back to the impermanence of the breath. And it made me feel so like a little part of the whole.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. So the realization came of the impermanent unfolding nature that has been happening here for centuries and centuries and centuries. And in that way, we feel part of the whole and an insignificant part of the whole rather than the center of the universe. So sometimes seeing impermanence allows us to see our own insignificance, that we are part of the totality of things rather than central to everything.
And then another thing happened while waiting for my turn.
She said another thing happened while waiting for my turn.
I felt like, in a way, you haven't seen me, so it was okay.
Yes, I didn't see her, so it was okay.
But, so I was feeling the impermanence of the urge to share.
Yes.
In a way. But yeah. Then again, that it's okay if I don't share.
Yes. So she felt the impermanence of the urge to share. I'm repeating it for those at the back. And then realized, well, it's okay if I share or not. So you let go of the wanting to tell me your experience. I'm glad I saw you in the end. Yes, so thank you. Yes. Yes.
I noticed that it's the focus of awareness shifts on the task of breath thought.
Yes.
And, also that awareness brings the task more spaciousness and very pleasant.
Yes. So spaciousness with the unfolding experience, not demanding the experience be a certain way. And sometimes it's expansive and sometimes it isn't, if I understand correctly. Okay, so steadiness. An equanimity with whatever we experience. And right there, there's freedom. When we're not demanding a particular experience. As meditators, of course, we love this feeling of spaciousness, and so we often run after it, and we tend to grasp it. And it disappears, of course. But if we can just be with whatever's happening, there's freedom in that. Let's go on to the next instruction. The next instruction is the instruction on fading away. And so as we breathe in and as we breathe out, we notice and see if there's anything fading away, the fading away of the moment, a desire, a feeling, a thought, and so on. Breathing in, contemplating, fading away. Breathing out, contemplating, fading away. Yes.
So, a couple of things happened. The most interesting one was I was in some sort of tunnel.
Yes.
And then all these things kept coming low. So, a sound or a hitch, or sometimes like something a little bit different, and you could really feel the fading away.
Yes. Beautiful. So there was the direct experience of the fading away. With the fading away, when something faded, what then?
Stole my attention at the time a little bit, and then it faded away. The second part was kind of confusing because I felt now what?
Okay.
It goes away, and then like, who am I? What is this thing that is following the teaching fading away?
Okay, great. So then came the inquiry question, now what? What is this teaching? I've seen the fading away. What does that signify? What's the significance? Beautiful. So right there is the edge of inquiry. The inquiry question can just be placed right there. So with inquiry, what the questions emerge through the being, if you like. Comes and it's like, oh, what now? What is this? And these questions are beautiful. They're classic inquiry questions where we ask ourselves, what is consciousness? What is freedom? What is spaciousness? There's the fading away of what? The fading away to what? What does the fading away reveal? Okay, the fading away, what was revealed? Question to you.
To me?
Yes.
It felt a little bit like what you said yesterday about emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt a bit like fade away nowhere because there is no
one. Okay. Okay. So there's your practice for today. Coming back to that and exploring a little more. Beautiful. Fantastic. Thank you. Yes.
Is there especially I can feel it? Feel it in my thoughts?
Yes.
So it's like I'm thinking something and then it's like fading away. Or a word or a sentence, and then I want to recall it or remember, and I don't.
Okay, so there's the fading away of a word or a sentence, and then it's gone.
Yeah. So it feels like it's dissolving into something that is maybe bigger than me. Or
okay. Like... Yes. Yes. So there's the dissolution of the construct of the thought. Thoughts are forms, they're formations. There's the dissolution of it, the fading away, the ceasing of the thought itself. When thought ends, what's known?
Space.
That's one thing. Yes, there's more to discover. So this is the beauty of this practice. There's the cessation of the thought. The thought fades into, you said spaciousness. Yes, there's space. Sometimes there's space between one thought and the next. But there's the dissolution of the thought. And then there's the revelation or the revealing of something more. This is our practice. This is what we discover. Yes. I'm here. Sorry, more and more thoughts, a little louder for me. Yes. Cut. Okay, beautiful. Yes. 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 So thought is cut, thought ceases. What does that reveal then? You wonder. Yes. Okay. Again, here's the practice. When thoughts cease, what is revealed? This is a wonderful inquiry question. And it's to be directly known and understood. Yes. Ah, yes. Vision fading away, I can identify with that. Yes. 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 Yes.
It's not sad. And it's a fading away, it changes.
Yes.
And then immediately I thought about my dog, which is dying right now.
Oh. Oh.
Just the last 2 months.
Yes.
And then I said it's a very different from fading away. Mm. I tried to deal with it and say that it's not so different.
Mm.
Then I had another thought and I said, but it's not, I'm not using samadhi, I'm not using attention, I'm just thinking.
Mm.
So I said, maybe I can try to sit on it in a way. So I tried to just do samadhi, try to connect with the heart mind.
Yes.
And just keep the thought. And then I just kept the thought. And all the time I had new ideas coming up of things fading away, but I said, no, I don't want it to come. I want to just stay focused on this.
To stay focused on the issue with the dog. And
it wasn't the thought thing.
Yeah, okay.
Just the heart mind attention focus on something that I think it works with.
Okay, okay. All right. Sometimes what happens when we really rest into the awareness itself is that we touch into our capacity of the heart to know the immeasurable. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
So you really came to the heart. And sometimes when we think about our beloved dog or somebody we love or something we love that's dying, there is that wonderful kind of heartfelt movement of warmth that is both sad and sweet at the same time. There's the memory of the beauty of the relationship, your very good friend, the dog, and it touches us in a particular way. And then if we can be rather still with that, we can shift from the grief of the loss to love itself and feel the warmth of the heart and just stay with that. And sometimes when we sit, we can really touch into these beautiful qualities of the heart mind where we feel touched, we feel warmth, we feel expansiveness, we feel a sense of vastness. These are the exquisite and beautiful qualities of the heart mind that we all know and we can all rest into, and it's nourishing, it's rejuvenating, it's peaceful, and it also shows us something about life. One more, yes?
So, your son's
amazing how much is happening in those like 3 minutes.
Yes.
So it's unbelievable. So I got bored really quickly.
Yes.
And the mind started to wander.
Yes.
And it wandered across a fear that I usually meet in
yes.
the beginning of the wandering. And this fear has a very, very clear shape.
Yes.
And I told the fear, like, you are not needed here.
Oh!
Right now.
Okay.
And I saw this shape and I just like wrapped it like in paper or something and like it faded away.
Okay.
And for a few minutes there was nothing there, but I felt like whenever it comes, I'm ready.
Ah!
There's space, I faded away the last year and now I'm ready for the next one. Like, give
yes.
me another 45 minutes. I'm ready for the next couple of things to come. And then you just ring the bell with like, I finished those 3 minutes with the feeling that I'm ready.
Okay, so it's the fading away of the fear. Beautiful. And how wonderful that fear can fade when we simply say, you are not needed here. Fantastic. And good spirit, I'm ready for the next fear. When the Buddha was walking in the forests of India and practicing, he was asked, how do you deal with fear? And he said, when I walked and fear and dread came upon me, I continued walking. I didn't sit down, I didn't stand up, I didn't lie down until the fear and dread subsided. And then he went through each posture. He said, when I was sitting and the fear and dread came upon me, I neither stood nor walked nor lay down until the fear and dread subsided. So our practice with fear is to really face it, to be with it until it subsides. And in the fading of the fear, with the fear that subsides, there's a release to peace, there's a release to freedom, there's a release to confidence. I'm ready. Anyone else? A direct experience? Yes, at the back. Ah, yes. Yes. So we bring new life to the world. When we have children, for example, then we fade away and this process goes on and on. Wonderful. Extraordinary. How things just appear and fade. Yes, did you want to say something?
Yes, I feel a bit stuck.
Yes.
Because I really don't want to die.
Yes.
And I'm attached to this I don't want to die.
Mm. Okay.
That's my direct experience all this morning.
This sounds like it's an inquiry for this afternoon. So please come for inquiry. But thank you for your very good voice on this matter. The body wants to live. We'll talk more. Thank you. Yes, one more here.
This was a beautiful and intense experience.
He said, this was a beautiful and intense experience for me. Lovely. So the experience, if I can just summarize, began with sensations and thoughts and feelings, and then spread to family, and then from there to anticipation, elation, beauty, joy, laughter, Yes. He said he saw himself levitating and laughing. The happy Buddha here. So it was a precious and exquisite experience, a delightful experience, a freedom that you've not known before. So sometimes when we, you know, each sensation fades away and we just go with it, and we can rest into this beautiful expansiveness. He said it was thanks to the softness that he was able to do it. So let's just sit together to end the instructions. So thank you to those who spoke and to each of you for listening and for your presence and patience. Please take up the contemplation of impermanence, or if you wish, of the fading away of desire, the fading away of clinging, the fading away of our attachments, and see how this unfolds directly for you.